You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. Be sure to check out newchurches.com/courses to learn all about our courses, including the latest one that we just recently put out on bivocational ministry. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
I didn't interrupt at all. Hey, yeah. Don't we have like a sponsor now? Art, you told me you're going to start doing a shout out to a sponsor. Do we just work that in subtly?
We are going to work.
Portable Church Industries, they are not subtle people.
We are going to work them in subtly a little bit later. Okay. But the beauty is today's question does talk about them a bit. So why don't we?
Not that we planned that though, but we should say that we're thankful for our friends at Portable Church Industry. I've used them in the past, others as well. They do good stuff. All right. So sorry, I just knew to me to have a sponsor. That's all.
Love it. Let's listen in and keep on going.
Hey guys, this is David from Texas, and we're considering launching a multi-site campus, but we don't want to be in a permanent facility just yet in order to save some costs. So my question is, what type of facilities should I be looking for? In other words, maybe what are some things to look for in the space, or what are some things to avoid in a space? Thanks for answering. I look forward to hearing your response.
All right, so we're getting heavily practical obviously
that's good. We like that.
Yeah.
Like
and obviously that. David was talking about a multi-site campus, but this works equally as well for church plants or, you know, anyone wanting to transition locations as well. So what are some of your thoughts, Ed, on this?
Well, what you look for in a facility? Well, you know, of course, I mean, we could look at three different categories: permanent facility, 7-day facility that's rental, and then a worship service only facility. The worship service only facility, you're going to look for the most obvious thing. And it depends upon how new they are in the church plant's existence. But the most obvious thing is some gathered space for worship and some place for children's ministry. Those are the things you sort of have to have as a new church. Now, last church I planted met in a movie theater. And so people automatically think, well, is there space for children's ministry? And actually there is. The way theaters are designed, there's kind of a large space between the front row of a theater and the screen. Or the party room we used. So that came with ready-made space. I've met, for example, in a high school. And meeting in a high school, you have a gymnasium set up. You can sometimes use that, or a cafeteria, or sometimes a theater. We actually set our church up in the church I planted before that. We set up in a cafeteria. And then we had the children's, I mean, the classrooms are set up. So if you think of the theater, you got your sanctuary seating, you use the term, just to people get the context, you got your sanctuary seating is already set up in a theater. In a school, your classrooms are often already set up, depending upon what the school is. And then I've also set up a service I'm trying to think of different places we've used, in a skating rink. We made holy roller jokes. I've set up a church that began.
That's true story. That is awesome.
In an American Legion Hall. And the American Legion Hall was tricky because we had to clear some of the bar remnants the night before. People didn't clean up always as well as they should. But I think all of them had in common is some larger gathered space and some space on the side, nearby, but not in earshot for our children's ministry. And then it gets tricky as it begins to grow. You have children's ministry, other things of that sort that sort of grow out of that. So in the big picture, I'm looking for worship space. I'm looking for children's ministry space. Now, we talked about 7-day rental. I mean, that can become, you know, those are a little more obvious though. You see, you just need the same ideas, but you need multiple rooms, some offices. And then of course, a permanent facility is something you'd eventually build or buy.
Yeah, so when you look at that temporary space and at a minimum, right, at as you said, that worship, you know, kind of the auditorium area, the children's space. One thing to kind of take note, especially in your children's space, is just the what it looks like, you know, just the feeling when you come in. Obviously, in a space where you are singing and hearing the word being preached, and you know, it's a little bit more of a rose type of a feeling, and you have lights oftentimes that you'll put in. But with a children's space, you do want it to be bright. You do want it to be welcoming, especially because parents might be dropping off their kids for the first time, and there's hesitancy already in that, in just the idea of, hey, I'm going to drop off my kids to a group of people who I don't know, and you know, it looks kind of dingy here, or you know, what kind of feeling are you immediately connoting when someone goes into that space? So brightness is something
connoting?
That you... Yeah.
Hold on, I got to Google connoting.
Is that a...
I don't know. It sounds like a word.
I don't know. It's like I was thinking connotations, but
the connotation. I don't know if that's a word or not. I'm looking at it right now. That could be the proper use of that. How do you connote something? Connote. It is C-O-N-N-O-T-E. So let's see what it is. Connote is to imply or suggest an idea or feeling in addition to the literal or primary meaning.
And is there a verb?
That is the correct use of the verb. Yes. I did not know this until now, 4 graduate degrees, and I did not know you connote things.
Love it.
Congratulations. So you're well, it's a Canadian awesomeness. You know, it's a whole, you guys speak the Queen's English.
Yeah, that's the proper speaking of the language of English. But once again, what is that feeling? So I guess one thing that I would, here's something that you can kind of think through, especially in a multi-site situation. Oftentimes when you're going into a new location, it's a smaller location. It's not the quote unquote mothership or main location. And a lot of times in kids' ministries and thriving churches, there's a certain feel, there's a certain, I guess, decor around that as well. So one thing that you can do to replicate that, you obviously can't replicate that exactly in a portable location, but what you can do is you can, let's say, have maybe decals or banners or wall banners that you can put up, that you can roll up. I've even heard some churches have it where they have their boxes that they use to transport things. They'll actually stick up posters and decor on the boxes and on the things that they use to bring children's supplies around. So actually those rollers become the barriers in between classes rather than something you shove in a closet. So think how you can recycle some of that equipment as well, because every minute counts when you're setting up and tearing down.
Yeah. And I think that's key. And again, you know, we were joking earlier about the portable church industries folks. And so that's where, so the last church we planted, we actually would roll up in our trailers, and our trailers were we'd store them off site. Some movie theaters let you store on site. I work with folks at Regal Theater there. Ours didn't have the capacity to store on site. So we'd roll up. And I think the key is having planted churches without sort of the preset sizes and preset boxes and all, it makes it more difficult. So I would encourage people to find a vendor, or so we're recommending Portal Church Industries, largely because I recommended them before we had them as a sponsor, but enables you to move quickly, unpack quickly. It's sort of designed for that. I remember many times setting up sound systems, trying to rewire the snake plugs every single time, and how painful. So you need to have those things. You know, be able to roll in, open up children's facility, roll in, open up the sound system, those kind of things.
Yeah. Now, a few years back when we did our State of the Church planning research, there was one question if you were considering visiting or joining a church, would knowing that the church does not meet in a traditional church building impact your decision? And 73% actually said it would not make any difference. 19% said it would negatively, 6% said that it would positively impact their decision, and 2% said they were not sure. So David, even as you're looking towards launching this in a temporary location, the research really stands clear in that people are really longing for more than a building, the people, right? And then that is the church. I mean, we are the people, and you may have the best building in the world, but not have, faithful preaching of the word and genuine community and biblical faithfulness, and people can leave. But you could also be meeting in a portable location that is a little bit ratty and not what you really want it to be, yet people can stick as well.
Yeah, makes sense. And I would say that don't downplay the importance of these the facilities questions, because people, particularly children's ministry, people walk in and they sort of decide whether or not they're going to connect with you and stay and be connected in the ongoing relationship with the congregation and more. So I really think you want to wisely ask the question, do I end up with facilities that actually undermine the message that I'm trying to bring? And I think therein is what I don't want to miss. I don't want to undermine that message. And I think ultimately we can have excellence, but also recognize portability. So, and again, I'm just kind of looking at the last church I was at Grace. And so when people walked into our theater, they were always a little nervous. And then they'd come into, let's say Theater One, which won't mean anything to you, but it does to me. So they'd walk into Theater One and they'd walk, they'd look and there'd be someone checking them in. They'd walk in, they'd do their drop off at the end of the seats. They'd look over the seats and see an area that has sort of a nice, I don't know, fence sounds a little bit more, but I don't know, you know, like a railing around it, you know, one of those colorful, like a child gate, but sort of wraps all around. And then they'd see activities and we'd have a floor thing set up. So they're not sitting on the floor. People are wondering, you know, they're sitting there with popcorn and milk and milk. I don't know where milk came from and popcorn, butter, popcorn and butter.
That is awesome. I don't know what you put on your popcorn.
No, exactly. It's an American thing. It's a poutine. It's poutine with you, isn't it? I don't even know.
Poutine.
Poutine. I don't even know what you people put on your whatever. But the end result is that they came in and said, oh no, these people, they have, you want people to say that you've given some real thought to this and this is really excellent and you've turned a temporary facility into not just a, we can make it through, but we're going to do this right. And it's going to be safe for the kids and a good experience and more.
Yeah. And honestly, with the beauty of the temporary location is that you can really find a location that's right for your size and right for, you know, just a little bit bigger than who you are and what that looks like. But if you remember, Ed, a couple months ago, we had Carrie Newhoff as one of our Plus member webinar guests. And we were talking about just the whole idea of breaking the 200 barrier, but also how that's very different than breaking the 1,000 barrier. And sometimes when you're looking for venues and you're looking for the right place as a visionary, the visionary church planter or campus pastor or leader, I mean, you're thinking 5, 10, 15 years ahead. I mean, is this going to sustain us? Is this going to be great for us? Is this going to be enough space for who God is calling us to be? But you can't really rent the location that you think you're going to need 10 years from now, right now.
Yeah, no, and that's a good point. And I think having realistic expectations at every phase is good. I guess would tell you, you know, we did this research project, I think it was 2007. And we looked at over a decade ago. But what we looked at was there was some statistical correlation with churches having higher attendance when they met in schools and where they met in movie theaters. Only two that showed up with statistical correlation. Now, keep in mind, that, you know, that doesn't mean it's causation, you know, but they're, in other words, did they meet in a school because they had more resources? That could be there. And so what I would say is you can't break the bank. You can't walk away unemployed over this, but you have to do the best you can with the resources you can to get the best facility that actually speaks and aligns with your values. And so that would be my exhortation.
Great. So whether you're meeting in a school, a movie theater, or any other temporary space, be sure to check out Portable Church Industries, our partner for this month, as they've been doing this for over 25 years now. So you can go to portablechurch.com to learn more about who they are and how they can best partner with you. And thanks again
and
for listening.
We didn't have to be forced to say that because have you used them in some of your church plants or no?
Yeah, we have. Right before we moved into our permanent facility, we were using Portable Church equipment.
So I think that it would be helpful if in the future, if anyone who's a sponsor, like don't get us like a sponsor of Ginsu knives or something that none of us have used, and then we have to make it up. Because in this case, it's kind of easy to affirm the good work these folks are doing.
Yeah, definitely. And be sure to subscribe and also rate us on iTunes or Stitcher or however else you get your podcast, because it does help other people find out more about us. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time.